our word for this morning. So if you will take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. And I want to find chapter 1. First Thessalonians chapter 1. I want us to focus this morning on verse number 1. First Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want you to focus on a statement that Paul makes in this verse. Unto the church of the Thessalonians. Now here it is. Which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you. You may be seated. I want to talk to us this morning about the position of the church. Amen. The position of the church. Now, when I say the church, it's important that you understand that I'm not talking about a building. We're not talking about some physical structure. But rather, when we talk about the church, we're talking about the spiritual body of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about all of the people who have been saved by his grace and brought into the family of God. We're talking about the born again. Those who have trusted in Jesus as their personal Savior. The church. I believe the church is the greatest organization on the face of the earth. I believe that the church has enjoyed the very best blessings that God could offer. And in spite of popular opinion, I still believe that the church is precious to the heart of God. Yes. Amen. Amen. We're not talking about the building. Come on. Yeah. That's right. But we're talking about the people. The men and the women and the boys and the girls who have been brought in to the family of God. Amen. The Apostle Paul had a great love for the church. You don't have to read his letters very long to know that Paul had a high opinion when it came to the church. And Paul wanted us to always know, in spite of what we may be facing, in spite of what difficulties we might be going through, that we were precious in the eyes of God. Amen. Now, I want to just drop this out there for our benefit. Don't be foolish enough to badmouth the church. Don't disrespect the church. Don't dishonor the church. Because the church belongs to God. The church, with all of her faults and all of her failures and all of her mistakes, is the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you disrespect the church, you disrespect Jesus. Now, folks, I want to tell you something. Listen to me. For any of us men here who have wives, you know that the one sure way to get on our bad side, the one sure way to see a side of us that won't be pleasant is that you badmouth the woman that we're married to. Now, that's just for our benefit. Don't badmouth the church. Don't disrespect the church. Don't dishonor the church. But I'll tell you something else we ought not do when it comes to the church. We ought not forsake the church.
Amen.
But believe it or not, you need the church.
Yes.
I need the church.
That's right.
It is impossible for us to be all that we need to be as Christians apart from the help of the church. Listen to me. I need the church to pray for me.
Amen. Amen.
I need the fellowship of the church. I need the support of the church. I need the church to help me. There are times in my life when I'm spiritually weak, and if it was not for you guys holding me up in prayer and encouraging me, I would give up. The church is important.
Yes, it is.
The church is valuable. The church is needed and the church is necessary. Now, this morning, what I want to do, I want to talk about the position of the church. Paul, in verse 1, makes a profound statement. He makes a wonderful statement concerning the church. Listen to what Paul said. Paul said, "Unto the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ." I spent some time this week thinking about that. I spent some time praying over that. When I study, sometimes there are books in the Bible that catch my attention. Sometimes there are chapters that catch my attention. But most of the time, it is a phrase or a word in a verse that catches my attention. And when I read this, I asked myself the question, what does that mean to us? What are the benefits that the church enjoys because of our position in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ? Four things I want to lay on your spirit this morning. I want to talk about the blessings. Listen to me. The blessings that come to us because of our position in God the Father. Because of our position in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first thing that I believe Paul wanted us to understand about this one little statement, Paul wanted us to know that the church is in the position of total forgiveness and full acceptance.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, that would be a good place to say amen.
Amen.
Because we're in Christ, because we're in God the Father, listen, we are in an eternal position, an unchanging position of full forgiveness and total acceptance. We're forgiven. We're forgiven this morning. Listen, we're forgiven of all of our sins. We're forgiven of all of our mess ups and our screw ups, not because we deserved it, not because we did anything to get this count off our books, but because of the grace and the mercy of Jesus Christ, we have a clean slate this morning.
Amen. Praise you, Father God. Yes.
With God.
Amen. Amen.
We're forgiven.
Yes,
listen, we're forgiven.
Amen.
Well, maybe you don't appreciate it. Let me say it this way. I'm forgiven.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Whenever God look at the books and tally up my debt and my account, there's a big old zero at the bottom line saying paid in full by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are forgiven this morning because we are in a good position with God. Let me tell you something else. Not only are we forgiven, Brother Franklin, but we're also fully accepted. Let me tell you what that means. That means that because you are a child of God, you are always welcome at the throne room of God.
That's right. Amen.
You don't have to clean up to come in. You don't have to make no appointment to come in. You don't have to pay no fees to come in. Listen, you can just come in because you're in the blood of Jesus Christ. I looked up this word accepted. Listen, in Ephesians chapter 1 verse 6, that word accepted means to pursue with grace, to compass with favor, and to honor with blessings. Now check this out. Watch this. Listen. Because the Lord just gave me a little vision of this right here. God said, not only are you forgiven, not only are you accepted, but I'm chasing behind you, running after you with blessings of grace, with blessings of mercy, with blessings of favor. I'm pursuing you because I want to bless you more now than I did yesterday. It's not because we deserve it. It's not because we earn it. But listen, it's because of this position that we're in. Paul said the church, listen, the church is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of our position, we are totally forgiven and we're fully accepted. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 1. Look at Ephesians chapter 1. And when you get there, just stay there for a minute because I want to show you two or three things from Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesian church, is trying to show them how blessed they are because they are members of the church, because they're part of the body of Christ. In verse number 6, Paul says, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he have made us, now watch this, here it is, accepted in the beloved. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he have made us accepted in the beloved. And for every born again child of God this morning, I want to remind you that you are accepted. You listen, you are accepted. You don't have, listen to me, there is nothing that you can do to become any more accepted than you are right now through the blood of Jesus Christ. Now folks may reject you. Folks may slam the door in your face. Amen. Folks may not want to have nothing to do with you. But whenever you knock on heaven's door and you use the name of Jesus and you remind the Father that you've been washed in the blood, the angels can't wait to open the gates. I'm telling you, you are accepted this morning. Don't let the devil fool you into thinking that there's something else you need to do to get right with God. You've been made as righteous as you can get through the blood of Jesus Christ. Terry Glover, that's shouting news right there. I know it's hard to believe, but that's biblical truth right there. We are what we are by the grace of God. That's the first thing that I want you to take home with you this morning. But here's the second truth that I believe Paul was speaking about when he talked about where the church was, the position of the church. Not only are we totally forgiven and fully accepted, but the church is in the position of unlimited spiritual blessings. Look again with me in Ephesians chapter 1. And look at verse number 3. Paul said, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. When you're in the church, and because the church is in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have everything that you need to live life successfully. You have every riches, every spiritual blessing, every spiritual riches that you need in order to live life victoriously because of your position. Now, let me tell you something. Listen, if you listen, say amen. Because I think some of y'all have checked out on me already. But listen to me. If you're living a defeated Christian life, it's because you're not cashing in on the spiritual riches that's available to you.
Amen.
And the devil, let's just be honest, the devil is gaining some ground on some of us. I know you can't say nothing.
Amen.
I know you feel like you got to fool us. But if you're dealing with the same devil that I'm dealing with, every now and then he'll get some victory over you. But it's because you and I failed to cash in on the spiritual riches that is ours because of our position. Paul said, listen, verse 3, it's right here in verse 3. He said, who have blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Jesus Christ. I believe one of the things that Paul would have us understand about the church being in Christ is that, number one, we're in a place of total forgiveness and full acceptance. Number two, we're in a place where we have unlimited spiritual blessings. But here's the third thing that I believe Paul would have us to know about this new position that we're in. This position of being in God the Father and in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is, we're in a position of absolute security and safety. We're in a place, let me tell you, listen to me. We're in a place of absolute security and safety. That's why Isaiah could say, no weapon that's formed against us is going to prosper. Listen, listen. You and I are always victorious. We are always triumphant, even when it looks like we lose, because of where we end up at, we still win. Listen, you and I are always in that position where God is working all things together for the good of them that love him. I told you this morning, I want to remind you this right now, that listen, you and I cannot lose. It's impossible for us to lose. Listen, in order for us to lose, every promise God made would have to be broken. In order for us to lose, the devil would have to be able to go up to the throne room of God and snatch the Son of God off the throne. Doesn't make any sense at all. Oh, listen, we're in a place of absolute security and safety. Now, I want to bring that up because, listen, I want to challenge you to think about something. What that means is that now that I'm saved, I'm also secure. Now, listen, now that I've gotten in the family, there's no way for me to ever be kicked out of the family. Amen. Now that I've been adopted, there is no way for me to be unadopted. Yeah, listen, we're in a place of absolute security and safety. I want you to turn with me to two passages of scripture. I want you to find St. John chapter 6. I got one more little point, and I'm going to let Allison come, and she's going to give us a testimony, and then I'll come back and give the invitation. I want you to look in St. John chapter 6 and look at verse 37. St. John chapter 6, verse 37. Listen to what Jesus said. Jesus said, all that the Father give me shall come to me. And him that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. Now that's good news for every sinner in the house. Because what Jesus is saying is that no matter what your past may have been, no matter how bad you may have messed up back yonder, if you will come to me right now, I'll let you in. I won't turn you away. He said, listen, all that the Father had given me will come to me, and him that come to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. Verse 39. All of this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he have given me, now here it is, I shall lose nothing, but shall raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believe on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Jesus said, all that the Father give me will come to me. He said, all y'all that come to me, I promise you, I won't lose one of you. Now let me tell you something. The pastor can lose folks.
Come on.
The church misplaces folks sometimes. Even the government gets us screwed up with their numbers. But when you get in the family of God, Jesus said, all that come to me, I won't lose not one of y'all. We're in a place of absolute security and safety. I'm glad about that. Because after 30-some years of being saved, I know if I had had to depend on myself to keep myself, I'd have got lost again 15 minutes after I got saved.
Amen. That's the truth. Yes,
but I'm so glad. I'm so glad that the God who saved the church is also able to keep the church. There's some of you here this morning, and you're worried that maybe God's going to take your salvation. You're worried that maybe a sin that you're struggling with might be the one thing that will keep you out of heaven. And you know you've been saved. You know you've been born again. But like all the rest of us, and if anybody tell you they're not, they're lying to you. We struggle with sin sometimes. The devil will trip you up and he'll make you think that because you've been tripped up, your name's been erased. But I want to tell you this morning that the God who saved us is able to keep us. He's able to keep us, and I'm glad about that. I try to be transparent with y'all, and I'm about finished. I try to be honest and tell you the truth about your pastor. And I wish I could tell you that I always get it right. I wish I could tell you that sometimes when I get up the bat, every time I get up the bat, I always hit a home run. But there are days in my life when I miss it bad. There are days when I go up to the plate and I hold a bat on the wrong end. I'm just being honest with you. There are days when I don't even know it's a game going on. But here's what I'm glad about. Felicia, I'm glad that my father don't change his mind. He don't stop loving me just because I strike out. I'm glad that he don't change his mind just because I miss it. Turn to St. John chapter 10. Let me show you one more verse. Look at St. John chapter 10. This morning, as I was studying for this message, and the Lord was just laying all these verses on my heart. And I said, Lord, you know, every Sunday I get up there and I have a whole lot of verses to give them, and I never give them to them. I said, well, listen, I'm going to give them these verses this morning, even if it kills them. Because you need to see it for yourself. Listen. Look in St. John chapter 10, verse 27. Now, Jesus says, he said, my sheep. Now, you need to underline that. That's important. Because here's the question that you got to answer. Are you one of his sheep?
Come on now. Amen.
That's it. Amen. Do you belong to him? He said, my sheep, hear my voice. And I know them, and they follow me. Now watch verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Listen, you can just mark under that and say, not only man, but not even a devil can pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. When you're in the church, it's the greatest place you can be, because the church is in the greatest place that it ever could be. It's in God the Father, and it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's my last little point this morning. The church is in the position of unlimited power. Because we're in God, and because we're in Jesus Christ, we're in the position of unlimited power. You know what that means? That means that we have no excuse for not accomplishing the will of God in our lifetime. God has given us power. Power to care for the gospel. Power to impact the lives of people around us. Power to make a difference in this world. And when you and I stand before the Lord, and one day we will stand before him, I'm telling you, he's coming. Solid Rock, he is coming. And every eye is going to see him. And every tongue is going to confess. And every person is going to give an account as to what they did with the life that he gave us. And there's not one excuse. Now you listen to me. Listen. There won't be one excuse that you can offer him as to why you didn't impact the world for his glory. There's not one. There is not one. You have been given power. You have been given authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4 verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. The Apostle Paul says in the book of Romans, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in you and me. Amen. You know, the only reason we don't do what God wants us to do? Either because we're doing our own thing or we're too lazy. I know you didn't come for that, but that's what was on the menu. That's what I give you. Folks, I want to remind you, now listen to me. I want to remind you, does God love you? Yes, sir, he does. The cross is the evidence of his love. But one day you will stand before the Lord and you will give an account of your life. Every one of us who are here this morning have a gift from God. Let me ask you a question. How are you using the gift? You know, I love Christmas, Michelle. But the bad part about Christmas is that I always get gifts. Or most time I get some gifts that I don't either like or I can't use. Come on. I didn't look at the size of that shirt that the church just gave me. But the first thing my wife asked me, what size is it? Now, let me ask y'all a question. Do it look like I can fit all this in a medium? If you wonder why I hadn't wore the shirt that you gave me, stop giving me smalls. And so every year I had to get gifts. Thank you, honey. Oh, I just love it. And take it and put it in the closet. Because either I can't use it or I don't like it. But the gifts of God are not like that. Listen. You can use it if you will. And it'll work if you use it. And it'll impact wherever you use it at. Because of our position, we've been given power. You and me got power to overcome whatever we're facing today.
Amen, bro. Amen.
And I know you're facing something. But whatever it is, the Lord sent me to tell you that you can have victory because of where you are. You're in Christ. Allison.